From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where members of the Black and Brown LGBTQ community continue the long legacy of ballroom culture. It's a celebration of the queer and trans community through family, dance, and competition. It's Friday, and it's been a very heavy week in the news. So today, we're going to take a step back with WBUR Arts producer Ariel Gray to talk about the ballroom scene in Boston and what it means to the people involved. Ariel, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. I am very excited about this story.
Thanks so much for having me, Darryl.
Indeed. So tell us a little more about this movement and its history.
Well, ballroom culture refers to a decades-old tradition in the Black and Latinx LGBTQ plus community, and it goes back pretty far, as far as the 1860s in Harlem. And at these balls, men would dress in gowns and women in suits, and it was a space where they were breaking all sorts of gender norms. Harlem Renaissance poet Langston Hughes even wrote about attending one in his autobiography. Since then, balls have obviously changed, but they are almost always very high energy with lots of music and lots of lights. And depending on the type of ball, you can expect some pretty extravagant outfits. There are lots of different categories that include everything from voguing, which is a specific dance style involving the arms and the hands, to best dressed. Walking in a ball is a really intense process. Everything from the hair to the makeup to the outfit, it can take months to prepare.
And so you followed a house for a month, right?
I did. And I just want to explain a little bit about a house. So a house is a national group that has local chapters, and these chapters compete against each other at balls. Houses also have leaders who are called mothers and fathers, and they have a lot of responsibility. They take care of house members, and they make sure that their house competes well at these balls.
So there's a very strong family structure within these houses, right?
It totally is, and there's a reason for that. Statistics show that Black and Brown LGBTQ plus youth face higher rates of estrangement from family and homelessness. So part of being a house parent is really passing on important knowledge and helping youth access these resources. I talked to Mercedes Loving Manley, who is the new mother for Boston's House of Mulan. She says the culture is an essential outlet for freedom of expression, but it also provides a really essential system of support.
That support isn't always at home originally. And even when it is, the understanding isn't there. So the support can be there, but without understanding, it makes living really hard. It makes existing hard. And it makes maneuvering through society very hard.
Now, I am thinking of the documentary Paris is Burning, the series Pose, and so much of the story of ball revolves around New York City. So how did it get to Boston?
Well, people traveled from across the country to attend these huge balls in New York. And so naturally, houses started to form in other places. And Boston, with its proximity to New York, was one of those places. Here's Loving Manley again.
So Boston balls are always like smaller in scale compared to New York balls, just because obviously New York is the mecca, and Boston definitely has our own scene. That's undeniable. But of course, it's smaller because we're a smaller city.
Now, you actually went to a ball back in February, right? That sounds like a lot of fun. Please tell me, what was that like?
This ball was held at Boston Glass, which is an LGBTQ plus resource center for youth, and it was transformed into this wonderful Valentine's themed wonderland for the night. This was what they call a Kiki ball, which is for young people who may or may not be in a house, and it helps them hone their skills, and it also helps them form relationships with others in the scene.
I love that, a Kiki ball. You know, this sounds like a really joyous and vibrant event, and often, you know, it looks that way in the shows and the videos that it's depicted, but I understand there's a lot of hurt underneath all of this. Can you explain?
Exactly. There is a lot of hurt. Loving Manley pointed out that shows like Pose are just that, television shows. On-screen representation doesn't necessarily translate in real life, especially within the Black community.
There's a culture of hiding. There's a culture of shame with being Black and specifically regarding like trans identity and experiences.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad because, you know, ball has been very, very influential on American culture and the people involved don't always get the credit.
There is so much in our current culture that is influenced by ballroom, from Madonna's voguing phase to colloquial terms like throwing shade or serving realness. All of these come from the world of ballroom. As we've seen time and time again, Black and brown LGBTQ plus pioneers are erased from the story. This is why Loving Manly says it's time to give credit where it's due.
That is why we need to celebrate Black, queer, and trans people during Black History Month, but also all year round, because we're here and our experiences are not going unseen. They're just going brushed over in conversations. They're not being talked about. They're being heard about. They're being seen. They're being experienced. But no one talks about it.
Well, you know what? We're talking about it today. And shout out to everybody keeping it alive. Arielle, thank you so much for sharing this story with us.
Thanks so much for having me here, Daryl.
That's WBUR Arts Engagement Producer Arielle Gray. Before we go, I should tell you what else is going on. The Supreme Court ruled that the man convicted in the Boston Marathon bombing will remain on death row. The court reinstated the penalty after a federal appeals court overturned the death sentence of Jahar Tsarnaev for his role in the 2013 bombing that killed three people and injured hundreds. The court ruled with a 6-3 vote that the lower court's decision was wrong. And local support remains strong for the people of Ukraine as Russia continues its attack on the country. Steve Yampolsky is a Boston area man born in Belarus who's in contact with friends in a hard-hit area of Ukraine. Yampolsky says his friend's 22-year-old son was badly injured when a Russian bomb in Kyiv shattered his back.
The last time they said that he'll never walk. You know, now there's a question of whether he lives.
Yampolsky is sending money and medical care packages from here in Massachusetts. In other news, as we head to the weekend, the number of COVID-19 infections in Massachusetts schools is down. New state education data show there were less than 3,100 infections among students and school workers over the last 2 weeks. That's down more than 20% from the week before the school vacation last month. The drop in school infections follows a statewide trend where the average of new daily cases dropped 60% in the last 2 weeks. And that's all for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Stay safe as you enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Hey, you're obviously a podcast listener. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just the local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts coverage, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.